Father, we're grateful for the day, thankful for the opportunities to be with one another and to be in your word. We're grateful for Jesus Christ and the things that he's accomplished, and just thankful that we can appreciate that work and be the beneficiaries of living out that which you've graciously provided. May your spirit guide us down, and we'll continue in Christ's name. Okay, so we have been doing a summer series based on the ex preposition, and we've been looking at phrases based off the ek preposition in our Greek New Testament. Now, ek is a preposition in the Greek that just means out from. And so that's our derived meaning, out from. And it can be out from as to place or out from as to source. And last week, we looked at a couple phrases in our Greek New Testament. We looked out from faith. And so we looked at a number of verses that dealt with out from faith, and we looked at a couple verses that said the righteous shall live out from faith. And so in this dispensation, believers have the privilege and the potential to consistently live out from faith. And that's something that's been provided. And so we also looked at another Greek phrase based on the ek preposition, out from law. And so we are under no quality of negative law. It doesn't mean we don't have responsibilities or expectations of us, but to live by grace is to live on a much higher plane of living than someone could live by law. Yet we continually see in the early church and even up to today that Christians struggle with how to live their daily lives. Well, today we want to continue, and it's going to kind of continue our message from last week. We're going to be looking at two Greek phrases, or some verses that deal with two Greek phrases with the ek preposition, and one is out from the Spirit. And then we'll cross a couple of places where we'll see out from works, and so both with the ek preposition. Before we get into out from the Spirit, though, I'd like you to turn to Philippians 3:9. And here you see a desire of Paul to be putting position into practice. And so Paul is a part of the body of Christ, was in Christ by Spirit baptism, the same way we all got into the body of Christ, by Spirit baptism. And his desire was to be living in that position in the realm of his present tense salvation. So God imputed him to be in Christ, but he wanted to be imputing that position as well, to the point that that's mentally, that was his reality. And so he's speaking about being found in Christ when we read Philippians 3:9, and he says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is out from law." And so I'm just emphasizing the ek preposition there. One's own righteousness would be based on some kind of a law principle. Well, Paul's desire isn't to be having his own righteousness, which is out from a law, it's just anarthrous, any quality of law, but that which is through faith of Christ, or concerning Christ, the righteousness which is out from God on the basis of faith. And so this is where Paul wants to his present tense reality to be, is in Christ, in his position in Christ, living in that righteousness that's been provided through Christ's cross work. So he's not interested in his own righteousness. Now, last week we were in the context of the book of Galatians, and I want to turn back to Galatians because we're going to kind of pivot off of that context when we consider some of this these phrases where we find out from the Spirit. So in Galatians chapter 3, if you remember, we worked this context here fairly quickly, but we traveled through, I think it was Galatians 3:1 up through 3:13 there. And I want to read these first three verses again. And so in the third chapter of the book of Galatians to chapter 3, verse 1, Paul here, now he's talking to believers. These individuals, they're saved. These are saved people. But the Christian lives, their present tense salvation, is not what it should be. And so they're not living by the provisions of grace. And so Paul here in Galatians 3:1, he says, "O foolish Galatians." And the word foolish, it just has the idea of unlearned or unthinking. Unthinking Galatians, oh foolish Galatians. And he says this with some emotions. He says, "Who has bewitched you?" The idea of who's cast a spell on you, who's deluded you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently sent forth, crucified among you. And so here Paul obviously had preached Christ crucified. In doing so, he certainly would have taught that they had a position in Christ, and Christ's crosswork was their crosswork. So now he's going to go on, he's going to ask a very important question. He says, "This only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit," and so in the King James it's capital, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, "received ye the Spirit out from, not the works, but just the quality of works of law," St. Arthur's, of any law. "Received ye the Spirit out from works of law, or out from the hearing of," or from faith. You could translate it that way, from faith, or of faith, the hearing from faith. Obviously, it was, they received the Spirit out from the hearing from faith. And so, they didn't have their beginning in this dispensation as believers out from works of law. So it doesn't make any sense that they're going to try and mature by the flesh or try and live their Christian lives in their own strength, because they have something that's been provided by grace. And they were neglecting that. And so in verse 3, he says, "Are you so foolish," or just unthinking ones, just, "are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now made perfect," or the idea of mature, "by the flesh?" And so here he points out something that having begun by the Spirit, are they going to neglect the provisions of grace? Are they going to neglect the Spirit in their life, in other words, and then now try and live their life in their own strength, according to flesh? Well, let's go back and we're going to look at some things dealing with salvation. And we're going to look at some of these places where we find out from the Spirit. And so we're pivoting off of here, off of Paul saying, having begun by the Spirit. So I want to take you back into the Gospel of John. And we get back into the context where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And we have this phrase, "out from the Spirit," four times in four verses, within a four-verse span. And so let's go back to John. In 3:5, we have our first, in our Greek Testament, this phrase, "out from the Spirit." So let's back up. And so we're going to see "out from the Spirit." We'll see it once in 3:5. We'll see it two times in 3:6. And then we'll see it again in 3:8. And so let's back up and pick up a little bit of this context of this conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus. And I'll pick up in 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say unto you," or thee, "except a man be born," and it's just literally, "out from water, even the Spirit." And so he has to be born out from water, even the Spirit. The water, the Spirit, is the same thing here. As to source, "except a man be born out from water, even the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now in 3:6, we'll just pick up, that which is born out from the flesh is flesh. And so here, that's easy for us to understand because we all were physically born, and that was out from the flesh, and then that was given birth to flesh. And that which is born out from the Spirit, capitalized, the Holy Spirit, is Spirit. And so this is where we would go to demonstrate that man is saved and born again in the realm of his human spirit. And so we could go back into 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and we see man is made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Now in 3:7, Jesus goes on and says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born from above." And now he's going to explain here. He says in verse 8, "The wind blows where it listeth, it desires. And thou hearest the sound of thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and whether it goes. So is every one that is born out from the Spirit." And so here we have this phrase, out from the Spirit. And this goes back to our beginning, or having begun by the Spirit. The new birth occurs by the Spirit. And in the kingdom of God that I didn't comment on in verse 3 is dealing with the realm of salvation. Now, so our salvation and our new birth comes out from the Spirit as the source. It's not out from ourselves. It's not out from works. And so let's just turn over to Ephesians 2:8. And so the ek preposition that we're kind of pivoting this series off of, it just offers a little clarity. It just helps to bring to light some of the ABCs from Scripture. And so when I see the ek preposition, I'm going to translate it out from. And so if you're following along in your translation and you hear me say out from, I'm reflecting the ek preposition in the Greek. And so in Ephesians 2:8, we just read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not out from yourselves." And so he's talking here about salvation through faith. It's not out from yourselves. It's not out from ourselves. It's not the salvation nor the faith. It is the gift of God, the free gift of God. Now in verse 9, here we're going to see it's not out from works. Not out from works. Again, going back up to the salvation, which is through faith. Not out from works, lest any man should boast. Now he's going to give further explanation, and he uses an explanatory gar in verse 10. He says, "For we are his workmanship." We're the result of his doing, is kind of the idea. And it's in the Greek, this is where we get the word poem. We are his workmanship, we're his poem, we're the result of his doing. "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which the God," it's articular in the Greek, "has previously prepared that we should walk by them." So it's here we find out that we're the result of his doing unto these good works that he's previously prepared. And so we don't have to generate our own good works. The challenge for us in our Christian life is to be in a position to recognize those good works that he's already prepared as they go by. We travel through time, or time goes by. And those good works will pass you by, and you're going to have to be in a condition to recognize which ones God's prepared so you can do them. And so you're going to have to be spiritual. And so we just can't, in our own strength, choose our own good works and do them, because those will be found to be lacking. And so let me just... And so it was given to us to believe. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's not out from ourselves, our salvation. Now, 1 Corinthians, of course, we get into chapter 3 and we find out that we're reading an epistle that's directed primarily to carnal believers here. And so these are believers that would be pertaining to or having the characteristics of the flesh. In chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul writes that he says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos?" And so they had been choosing human people to follow. And he says, "Who is Paul, who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed." And so they were just servants through whom they believed. They were instruments through whom they believed, even as the Lord gave to each one. And so what did he give? He gave to believe. And then Paul goes on, he says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And so here Paul and Apollos, they weren't just doing their own works out from themselves. They were doing things that had already been previously prepared for them. And so then he goes on in verse 10, he says, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gave the increase." And then let's just go ahead and continue on here. He says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are fellow workers," or just laborers together, "fellow workers of God. You are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let each one take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, just each one, the work shall be made, or of each one, the work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, he will... which he has built thereupon, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire, through fire." And so, Dale mentioned the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ this morning. And we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to have our works judged. We're not going to be judged, but our works will be judged as to what sort they are. And so it's helpful to remember that God's previously prepared those works for us, the ones that will be rewardable. Now, we'll just stop at one other place in Philippians 1:29, dealing with given to believe here. In Philippians 1:29, just reads, "For unto you it was given." And the word "given" is a translation that comes from our Greek root for grace. "And it was graciously given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe into him." And it's just an ice preposition, so I'm just going to translate it literally. "Not only given, not only to believe into him, but also to suffer on behalf of him." And so here's a verse where you see it was given to believe into him. What was given to believe into him? Faith. Faith. And so when we take this and we connect this back to Ephesians 2:8, it's not out from ourselves. That includes the faith. It's not just the salvation that's not out from ourselves, but it's the faith. Now, I know when you believed the gospel, you didn't realize that you were given the faith to believe. You just believed. But here, Scripture tells us, and so when we read For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not out from yourself. It is the gift of God. It was given to us to believe into Him, and not out from works, lest any man should boast. And then that's Ephesians 2:9. And so now let's just not out from works. And so we're looking at these two phrases, out from the Spirit and out from works. Let's turn over to Titus 3:5, and we have this phrase used again, not out from works. In Titus 3:5, it's not out from works of righteousness, which we have done. So, now let's go ahead and expand the context a little bit. Let's start in verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving strong lusts or desires and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Doesn't sound like a very good condition. But after that, the kindness and the fondness of God, our Savior, towards man appeared. Not out from works of righteousness, and so I'm translating the ek preposition. Instead of translating it by, I'm just translating it outcome. Not out from works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing or the renewedness from the Holy Spirit. Not which, but whom. The Holy Spirit is a person. And so in verse 6, I would translate the first word, whom He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to a hope of, or I would probably translate it as, but if from eternal life. As we know, we have eternal life as a possession, because he that has the Son has the life, according to the hope from eternal life. Okay. We're going to speed along here. I'm going to go back to a couple of verses where we find out from the Spirit. So let's go back into 1 John, and we'll pick up in chapter 3, in verse 24. We find in the Greek this phrase, out from the Spirit. And so in 1 John 3:24, I'm going to read verse 23 also. And so here we find in verse 23 that His commandment here, it goes back to the Father. But we could take you back into the Gospel of John. We can show that the Father communicated through Christ. And so here we see, though, that His commandment, going back to the Father, was also Christ's commandment. He's the one who gave us the new commandment to love one another. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And then He goes on in verse 24 and says, and he that keeps His commandments abides in Him. This is at ease in Him, and He in him. And by this we experientially know that He abides or is at ease in us. Now, it's not by the Spirit, but this is our ek preposition. So in the Greek, this is where we have, it's out from the Spirit that we experientially know that He is at ease in us. And so it's an out from the Spirit, which He has given us. And so this out from the Spirit. Let's look at another place in 1 John. In 1 John 4:13. And again, we pick up the concept of the new commandment in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11. Beloved, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, it's important to remember loving one another with this kind of love, this agape love, is something that only a Christian can do. because it's of divine origin, agape love, and it's something only a spiritual Christian can do. So remember, the definition of spiritual means pertaining to or having the characteristics of the Spirit. And agape love is one aspect of the fruit from the Spirit. And so when we read this in, or have reference to the new commandment to love one another, it's not something we can do or generate out from ourselves as the source. It's something that's out from the Spirit. And so, beloved, since, let me pick up in verse 11, beloved, since God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. He's at ease in us. He abides in us. And his love is perfected in us or by us, is the idea. Now in verse 13, he says, hereby, or just literally, by this, we experientially know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us out from his Spirit. And so what is he talking about in this context? I believe there's an ellipsis here. He's talking about he's given us out from his Spirit love. Love. And so it's out from the Spirit. And so when we go back into the book of Galatians now, let's go back to Galatians and chapter 3, you can see here why Paul says, are you so foolish? In Galatians 3:3, having begun by the Spirit, are you now made mature by the flesh? They've begun by the Spirit, they've been born again out from the Spirit. We've been given the Spirit, and we have love out from the Spirit as to source. And here, these believers were duped into thinking that they could mature, they could grow, that they could do something out from themselves or out from works that would be of value. And in doing so, they were really neglecting some of the benefits of grace. And so it's kind of fun. For time's sake, I won't take you through all of the Spirit references in the book of Galatians, but it really helps you to see what Paul is trying to punch to these believers who were trying to live by law. They were allowing themselves to be being put under a quality of law. They were putting themselves back under a curse. They were putting themselves back under a bondage that man isn't able to bear. But let's look at a couple, and you can kind of just pick up the importance of what he's saying when he's talking about having begun by the Spirit and they're trying to be matured by the flesh. Let's look at Galatians 4:6. I'll just pick out a couple here. Let's see. Let's back up to 4:6 will work. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit from his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Father, Father. It says in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And so in this context, he's really pointing out their position of privilege that they have of being a son of God. And let's go to Galatians 5:5. It says, for we, not through the Spirit, but by the Spirit, we by the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness out from faith as the source. And so here Paul's talking about we're imputed to be a quality of God's righteousness in Christ. And we're waiting for that, sort of the full experience of that imputation, which will occur at the rapture. So he says, for by the Spirit we wait for the hope. And the hope, remember, biblical hope comes from a promise from God. The hope of righteousness through faith. And so faith, an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit, which it gives substance or undergirding to the thing hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now in verse 6, he's going to have something else to say about faith, and he's going to bring in another aspect of the fruit from the Spirit, love, agape love. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything. The idea of availeth is the idea of it's of any strength. It's not of any strength, circumcision or uncircumcision in Christ Jesus. But faith is the idea of faith, which is being energized through love, agape love. So again, he comes back to the concept of agape love. Faith, both of these relate to the fruit from the Spirit and tied back to the Spirit in verse 5. Now, let's just go to a couple other places here. Let's go over to Galatians 6. Well, let's go to 5:16. Sorry. So there was a group of believers here who were trying to mature by the flesh. And so they would be carnal, they would be pertaining to and having the characteristics of the flesh. And here Paul says, this I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you shall never ever fulfill the lust from the flesh. And so we have, here's this double negative and the subjective. And so the idea that you will never ever once, not even possibly, bring to completion the lust from the flesh. If they walk by the Spirit. Now, he just told them, in the previous context, he's been laying it out that they're no longer under the law. And Jewish Christians aren't under the Mosaic law. So there's obviously Gentile Christians wouldn't be under the Mosaic law. In verse 13, he says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion, for a launching point, for a beachhead here, for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Through love. Again, the instrumentality of agape love. And remember, that goes back to being spiritual, pertaining to and having the characteristics of the Spirit. In 5:18, he says, if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under any quality of law. And so the Holy Spirit, he's the one who takes up the battle with the sin nature, and when we get out of the way, the sin nature wins. Or, I'm sorry. Hey, I'm good. I've got people to wake up there. Yeah, well, my glasses are fogging from my... let's try that again. When we get ourselves out of our way by getting our head in the third heavens, the Holy Spirit takes up the battle with the sin nature, and the Holy Spirit always wins. Okay? When we are trying to deal with the sin nature in our own strength, you can go back into Romans 7, and the sin nature always wins. And so, the Holy Spirit is the ultimate authority, but we ultimately decide who's going to win the battle by how we direct our mind, and whether we choose to live by the provisions of grace or not, in present tense. And so here he says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under any quality of law, or a law. It's just anarthros. And so you're not under a law, but you're being led by the Spirit. The Spirit's going to lead you to be doing things. And so the Holy Spirit will never lead you to be doing things that are contrary to Scripture. And there's a lot of things where we don't have specific instruction in Scripture on what to do. And so what is a Christian to do? Well, you want to be living within the will of God, and you want to let the Holy Spirit to be the one who's leading. And so when you look down in Galatians 5:25, he says, if or since we live, and I'll translate it instead of in the Spirit, I'll say by the Spirit, since we live by the Spirit, he's the one who's made us alive. He's the one who takes up the battle with the sin nature and makes it possible for us to not be serving the sin nature as a slave. So since we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And the word walk here is the idea of step by the Spirit. And it's a stepping in a straight, orderly line. Let us step. And so I translate it step. Let us keep in step by the Spirit. And so when you start, and I'm only picking out a few of them here to show you this, these references to the Holy Spirit in the book of Galatians. But when you start to do that, you really see the contrast of what they were doing, trying to live out from the works of law in their own strength versus living in the provisions of grace and out from the Spirit. Let's look at Galatians 6:1. And so here's a verse, if you want to see that Paul expected the spiritual Christian, he expects a Christian to be able to discern if you're spiritual or not. Now, other people aren't going to be able to look at you and to discern if you're spiritual or not. But you should be able to self-evaluate and know if you're spiritual. And so are you pertaining to the sin nature or the flesh or having the characteristics of the flesh? Then, or are you pertaining to or having the characteristics of the Spirit? And so in Galatians 6:1, Paul says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and this word for fault is trespass, a trespass, somebody who's determined to do something to sin, but hasn't carried it out yet. And so when they determine to do it, but they actually haven't done the act, it's still a trespass. It's not sin yet. Well, there's still the possibility to avoid that continuing on into sin. He says, ye which are spiritual. And so you that are spiritual, and so obviously he's speaking to these believers. They need to know if they're spiritual or not. He says, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Now remember, meekness is also an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit. Remember, our definition of spiritual, pertaining to or having the characteristics of the Spirit. And so they would have an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit would be meekness, so that objectivity of mind, that ability to stay focused at the task at hand. He says, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, when he goes on to verse 2, he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of the Christ. And so, he just had said over in 5:18, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. So what is he talking about here? Well, law can be used in a number of ways, and it can be used of a principle, a law, a principle. And the new commandment is a principle for us to live by. And so he says, so fulfill the law of the Christ. In the Greek, it's articular. And so I believe this is in reference to the Christ, as Paul defines in 1 Corinthians 12:12. And so, remember, he defines the Christ there as the body with the head. Hold your fingers in Galatians chapter 6, and we'll come back here and finish. But let's just go back and take a look at that. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, he uses the human body here to try to illustrate this concept of this new creation in the body. And he says, for as the body is one, so I believe he's making reference here to the human body. We all know, we all have a human body, and we know our body is one, right? Well, we all have many members of this body. You know, you have, you know, 5 digits on each hand, hopefully, and you have toes, but it's still one body. So we can relate to that. So I think that's what Paul's doing here. So as far as the body is one, it has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So here we have this concept of multiplicity within a unity. And he uses the human body to explain that. And then he says, so also is the Christ. Now, when he says the Christ here, he's not talking about just the body alone. It's not that. It's not a headless body. We wouldn't say that we're one body and not include the head. Well, Paul's not doing that here either. And so if the Christ then is the body with Christ as the head. He's the cranium. And so we're a part of this unity, this new creation that Paul calls the Christ. He says, now, and this is how we got into this new creation, the Christ. It says, for by one Spirit, and it's capitalized, this is the Holy Spirit, were we all baptized. So immersed. So none of us got into the body of Christ in a different way. It says we were all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink one Spirit. So going back to the Holy Spirit again. And so when we come to Galatians 6:2, then he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of the Christ. I believe this is in a reference back to the new commandment, to love one another. And remember, the new commandment is to love one another of the same kind. And so that agape love that a spiritual Christian has as a result of being filled by the Spirit is to be directed primarily at one of the same kind. In other words, other Christians love one another. Now he goes on in verse 3, says, for if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now, I'm going to end today in Galatians 6:8, and we find this Greek phrase that we've been looking at today, out from the Spirit. And so out from just represents the ek preposition. Out from is the source, the Spirit. And so here Paul continues on and he says, for he that sows to his flesh. And so we have what could be translated as a causal ice. And so an ice is just a preposition. When I said causal ice, it means because of. And so we could translate it this way. For he that sows because of his flesh shall out from the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows, again, I will translate this as a causal ice, because of the Spirit shall out from the Spirit reap not life everlasting, but eternal life. That's what will be harvested, is eternal life. And so here, this contrast of the flesh and the Spirit again, that we first touched on in Galatians 3:3, when he asked, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now made mature by the flesh? And so over here in 6:8, he's telling them that those that are sowing because of the flesh shall reap corruption. That's which is decayable, just corruption. And it says, but that he that is sowing because of the Spirit shall out from the Spirit reap eternal life. And then he goes on in verse 9, he says, let us not be weary in doing well, just in doing that which is excellent. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so that's, we'll just cut that a little short today. So that kind of ties off our out from the Spirit in our Greek New Testament. And again, we hit on a couple of the out from works as we were looking at a few things and tying that all back into the context that we started in Galatians last week with us. Father, we're grateful again for the day, thankful for the privileges that we've had to be in your word, to be remembering the provisions of grace at the Lordian table and for the potluck that we've shared. Thank you again that we can be in your word and we have the potential to relate one another and share in common because we share in common with the work that Christ has accomplished on our behalf. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.